Welcome to Keldabe Talk Radio, the official podcast of the Mandalorian Mercs. We're a costume organization dedicated to charity efforts around the globe, attending events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll keep you up to date with the latest fan community news. Visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Keldabe Talk Radio. I'm your host, Thaxos, and with me as always is Crow.
Yo.
Frost.
Hey, what's up?
And Tobias.
Blargity blarg.
Alright then. In Mercs news for this month, we've had two new Aurora Amicads announced, Balin Halon and Kel Ordo. So congratulations to them both. We are now over 25 Aurora Amicad in the Mercs at this point, which is fantastic.
Does that include like the people that have served on the council?
That does not include people that were on the council before they received Aurora Amicad by then retiring from the council position.
Okay.
Those aren't actually listed currently.
Hmm. Continue.
Additionally, the Mercs has reached its 800 member official member status, which is quite a milestone for the group.
Oh, yeah.
In just over 6.5 years, we've reached 800 members, and we've raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for charity.
Congrats to Moscow, by the way, for being number 800.
Yes, congrats to Moscow.
It was a beautiful kit, too.
Very nice.
Yeah. He's one of our newly formed Gat Kirbez squad members in Quebec, Canada. So congrats to them for forming up on the squad as well.
I was so close to 400. So close.
I was only 3 away from 250. So close.
So close. 402. Yeah.
253.
Anyway.
Tobias, Frost, catalog numbers. You were you guys close to anything? Any of those big numbers?
445.
Okay, so
almost
450. Yeah.
Well, actually, I'm 442. I was close to 445. Which...
My catalog number is like 37.
Oh.
Is it?
Well, shut up.
Well, you're almost close to 50.
almost
as close to 50 as you were close to number one.
Yeah, well, I was about to say that was it when Phelan redid the catalog system though, like 4 years ago. Is when I picked up that number. I think I was actually number 27.
Oh, okay.
Number one in the catalog is in my clan, and he's retired.
Yeah, I was about to say. Well, number one is technically shared between three people, which is junk.
And believe it or not, none of them are Tom.
Yeah.
Or Mandalore the Uniter. Yeah, the numbering system's interesting. But
that's what happens when you make one up four years after club gets started.
PJ just had to make a new one, is all that boiled down to.
Yeah.
The old system didn't have coherent numbers, and a lot of people were doubled up on. Like, there were, like, three people who were number 45.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah.
The sole purpose of it is for statistical tracking.
It has no bearing on when you joined or anything. It's just like the 501st. You get to pick your catalog number when you join in the 501st here, and thus it has no pertinent meaning on what your number is. Except
now
the
it's a
apparently.
Bit.
They made it a four-digit number now.
Yeah, once you go past 100, it's more or less a chronological order of members joined, but that first bit is kind of all over the place.
Yeah. Pretty much arbitrary.
Well, I think it was actually 150. 150 was when he flipped it around, and now, guys, we have like 800?
Yep.
Yes, 800 is a huge, awesome milestone.
Yeah.
I think we were in around 400 2 years ago.
Yep.
So we
broke 500 at the end of the end of 2011.
I was 402 at the end of 2010.
Yeah.
And then so I was 442 in April of 2011.
Yeah.
So we're growing at a really good pace, which is awesome.
2 years and we doubled the size of the club, which is actually about what it's been.
Yeah.
And then growth curve, we just double every couple of years.
That's a great growth rate.
Great place to be.
Oh yeah.
Real question is, how many members are we going to get before C7?
Well, I guess we'll just see.
That's the real answer.
Everybody go out and recruit hardcore. That's what we're saying.
Yep.
Jeremy Bullock needs his army.
For real. How is he gonna be able to take over the world if he doesn't have a squad of nerds to run over the government?
Moving onwards, the app team is actually looking for applicants. So if you're interested and think you've got what it takes, go on over and send in your submission. I believe the closing date on that is... I believe, the closing date is November 1st, so applications need to be submitted to Zug Day. The information itself can be found in our announcements section on the forum, not in the Mercs News announcements itself. And there's a couple different stipulations in there just to make sure that you're going to be a good fit for the team. So get those applications in, and who knows, maybe you'll be the next person on the app team. So I think that's all we have for Mercs News this month. General Star Wars news, a couple interesting things have been happening. The actor Oyelowo, that's his last name, has been announced to be the same character for both Star Wars Rebels and Episode 7, which seems to indicate that Star Wars Rebels, the TV show, will actually be a bit of a transitional show, so it'll lead up to and develop into what the storyline in Episode 7 will be happening. So that's pretty exciting. I'm definitely looking forward to that.
They haven't really confirmed who he is, though.
This is true. They have not confirmed who he is or what his character's doing. So for all we know, he could be, you know, big character in Rebels and then just be like janitor number 7 in Episode 7.
Yeah.
But there will be some sort of transition, which will be kind of cool.
Yeah.
I do like the concept of having a TV show that will develop into the movie, which should build a lot of hype.
Oh, yeah.
You mean like the animated Clone Wars TV series from like 2002?
But it never built into a movie.
Yeah, it did. The last three episodes of the hand-animated Clone Wars TV series were...
Oh, sorry, you're talking about the Gendy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the Clone Wars.
No.
The Clone Wars TV show.
No.
I was going to say, because the Clone Wars TV show did get its own movie, per se, but it didn't...
It was really just a long pilot.
Yeah, it wasn't the same. Go ahead, Tobias.
I was going to say, this actor has done a lot of things that are really interesting, like in film and radio and television and stage play. He was in Red Tails, then he's also announced for Jurassic World coming up.
Yeah.
Score.
That as well. Yes, his first name, David. David Oyelowo. Bit of a tongue twister.
It is a bit of a tongue twister, but that is how he wants to pronounce it.
I was about to say, the dude's name is like a palindrome.
A little bit. He was, in addition to Red Tails, he was also in Rise of the Planet of the Apes and Jack Reacher. Those are the two other movies I recall him being in.
Lincoln. He was in Lincoln, too.
Was he in Lincoln?
Yep.
Yeah, he was one of the... Yeah, he was one of the two Union soldiers that recited the Gettysburg Address to him.
Cool.
Mm.
Awesome scene.
Yeah.
Also, in general, an awesome movie. However, Star Wars.
Yes.
Oh, I'm surprised this guy didn't go into like a 30-minute rant about Lincoln.
Well, Daniel Day-Lewis is really awesome, so, I mean...
But he's not in Star Trek, so Eric can't talk about him.
Yeah, I can't talk about him if he's not in Trek or Star Wars. Sorry, guys. Or Lord of the Rings.
Give it time.
You know, he would
probably
make a pretty good elf.
We've got 5 movies coming up. He'd be good. No,
we can have him be... We'll have him be Prince Shizor.
Yeah,
oh,
dude.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Well, I thought that Jack White would make a good Prince Shizor.
I don't think he's tall enough.
Why don't we just get Spanos to do it?
Spanos would probably make a pretty good Prince Shizor.
He already has made a pretty good Prince Shizor.
No, I meant, like, on stage.
I know.
Like, behaviorally, he would make a good Prince Shizor.
Yeah. He's already made it, man. He would make a great one, yeah.
Yeah.
And since they've pretty much announced that one of the two unnumbered movies is going to be about Han Solo, my guess is young Han Solo, why not Isaiah Mustafa as young Lando?
Yes.
Why not, man? Like, seriously.
Look down, look back to me. Your spaceship is now mine.
Like, because, I mean, they go over in the books how they meet, but then, you know, they have all their varied adventures and...
I'm willing to bet what they're probably going to do is go into Han Solo's backstory about his time in the Imperial Academy, if that's still a thing, and then talk about him rescuing Chewie. I imagine that they're going to try and make
it a
buddy flick about Chewie.
I'm cool.
Look
with
down
that.
And back up. I'm on a Wookiee.
Oh.
Wookiee life debts for everybody.
And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Lando plays into it, too. Now, guarantee it's not going to follow whatever is the currently established canon for Han Solo.
Likely not. They've pretty much said.
Is that a money back guarantee?
Well, it's because Han Solo's basic canon right now involves just a bunch of named characters who don't make any difference until they showed up in the book, where they then explained how they were in Han Solo's background. Like Sal Thrakken Solo.
Yeah.
Like.
True.
Or Thrakken Sal Solo or whatever his name is. I don't know.
Yeah.
Big in the EU, but pretty much pointless until Han Solo trilogy.
Point. Yeah. Not Far Point. Center Point Station.
Yeah. Center Point Station.
I was getting my Star Trek mixed in again.
You are.
But at the same time, there's so much of the Star Wars universe, they really could just, like, skirt around certain sections of established canon and just make a movie despite that and not actually interfere.
Yeah.
Well, that's my hope.
Yeah.
That's my hope, is that they just go in, that they follow the basic storyline, because honestly, there isn't a whole lot written about Han Solo's time as in the Imperial Academy. Like, they talk about it, and they talk about how he blew up the moon and everything, and they have that thing where they show the comic with, what was it? It wasn't, I don't remember which comic it was, but they had a comic about it. But ultimately, there's still a lot of that story that could easily be told without stepping on the toes of anything, and most of it is in broad strokes. So they could really just go in and write the specifics for that specific story, and it's a pretty good story to begin with.
Yeah.
So hopefully
it'll turn out right. But that's all speculation, as usual. Most of it's speculation, a little bit of news. But additionally, less speculatory, more just teasing everybody. There have been some more details released about Star Wars 1313. I believe it was IGN that brought us a detailed illustrated report, a 15-minute 1313 demo that they were recently shown.
Again? It's bad.
They don't. No, it's sort of back. They're just teasing everyone with it. I think potentially they're going, ooh, look at this, teasing everyone, and then hopefully waiting for the uproar of fans going, please, please make this, at which point they'll go, see, look, people want it, we can make money off this. That said, 1313 very well could still come back. Just because they've shelved the game doesn't mean it's gone forever.
Yeah. Like all of those other excellent games that took 100 years to make, like Diablo 3 and Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, StarCraft 2 is pretty good. But,
yes. Yeah, that too.
That's like the only one.
Doesn't mean it can't happen with 1313.
Yeah.
Everybody's got bad games. I mean, look
1313,
at, look,
that's got 3 in it twice, Half-Life 3 confirmed.
Yeah, I mean, just look at BioWare. I mean, they've got a bunch of really solid titles, a bunch of really solid Star Wars titles, and then there's Thor.
To be fair, Thor was developed by the Mythic people. It wasn't really, EA owns Mythic and BioWare, and they rolled all of the Mythic developers into BioWare as a new development group specifically to design Thor.
Yeah.
That's sad, though.
Mythic has made 3 failed MMOs so far, so...
I'm still holding out for 1313. Given what they were showing in this latest element, they've revealed, you know, Boba Fett was going to be the main character before even having Mandalorian armor. He just has a basic outfit, and they got some artwork showing Fett standing in front of Slave One, wearing his father's iconic helmet. And they've got also more details on some of a lot of concept art for the different levels around 1313. 1314 was now mentioned, too. Supposedly a slum of some sort that was very, very grim that Fett has to search through for his bounty.
And it's rarely explored.
Yeah.
But it looked quite good. Fett's got some sort of droid companion with him as well. Definitely there'll be a link provided when we open up the thread for for this podcast, where you guys can go check that out. There's some pretty cool stuff there. Hopefully that 1313 does get published at some point and sticks more or less to what we've seen so far, because it looks really good.
Totally not about Boba Fett, we promise.
No, it definitely showed Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Which would be awesome.
Super late addition to the game.
Well, I don't know. I mean, ever since...
Like, everything's better with Boba Fett.
Well, I've heard that he was, I mean, this is just a rumor, completely unsubstantiated, but I've heard that he was a late addition at George Lucas's request.
2-13-13?
Yeah, 2-13-13. Like, I've heard he was just supposed to be a bounty hunter.
Yes, yeah, that had been mentioned, but he's not a late addition to the game plotline itself. He's just a late addition to becoming the main character.
Well, yeah, well, that's a pretty significant late addition to the plot line.
Oh, yeah.
Also known as, well, rewrite.
Yeah.
But Lucas is no longer in charge now, so that very well may change.
So
and to be fair, redoing the dialogue in a video game is much
very
less
easy.
Difficult than doing the video game.
Very
easy. That's why all the games nowadays are fully voiced, because Tor was like, we can totally do this, and it only took us like 4 weeks to do all the dialogue while we were also doing the rest of the game. And everybody else was like, yeah, okay, that's a good idea.
Oh, and people love that. Oh, hey.
Yeah, okay. It's the only redeemable feature.
Well, possibly.
It has some redeemable
features. Some
people features.
Like it.
You do,
some people
get to,
like it.
You do get to have lightsabers.
That is one element of Star Wars, yes.
Well, I was just pointing out that is a redeemable feature of the game.
Yes.
Well, you know what might also be a redeemable feature? Lightsabers in real life.
transition!
That's a segue.
Yeah, so as some of you might have heard,
over
and
us
some
screaming.
People may have gotten really excited, yeah. there's science news out of Harvard and MIT in which they managed to get photons to clump together to form a molecule, and they claim it, quote-unquote, behaves just like a lightsaber. So obviously it's not quite that simple, but they've managed to get photons to cling to each other, which means they're actually able to build some sort of basic molecular structure out of light, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah. Well, if you guys think about it, that means holograms. Or if they can keep them coherent, it means that you can either do holograms or force fields out of light. Like, that's an extreme application.
It's looking a lot like holograms. I mean, because that's the simplest one, because then you don't need to worry about any interaction with mass.
I don't know about you guys, but they already have some pretty intense hologram capabilities right now, so...
Disney is all over that sort of stuff.
I'm just going to say it probably looks like lightsabers. I don't think there's a function of lightsabers in a way. Like,
no, there's not so much the cutting.
No, it's not going to be like radiating immense heat only when in contact with things.
Yeah.
Okay, because I don't know if you guys watched the Science of Star Wars that was on History Channel a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They said that in order for lightsabers to work like they do in the movie, the blade has to be like 3 million degrees or something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, which means it immediate, unless you can somehow get it to the air around it to not conduct, it just kills everyone in the radius nearby.
Pretty much.
Well, like Star Wars explains that away with magnets.
Yeah. How do they work?
Which is its own gigantic issue.
Yeah, well,
magnets that strong would, like, you know, buckle walls.
Well, and would pull the blood out of your body.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
People forget about that. Blood's magnetic, guys.
The actual application that they're aiming to do with these quote-unquote lightsaber particles and molecules, now that they've built them, is building more efficient quantum computers, which is still
transfer.
Pretty crazy awesome.
Yeah.
So either way, whether we get lightsabers or not, we're going to see some pretty amazing technology emerge from that. So that alone could push us one step closer to some more Star Wars technologies, even if they're not lightsabers. Or who knows, maybe they'll create bullets out of light, and then we'll have blasters. That would be crazy. Let's not do that.
Yeah. Well, and that's another thing is, hopefully, and I mean this is light, so if you can get photons to clump together, that means that you can actually create higher density light, essentially. Because if the photons are physically proximate to one another, such that you can make a structure out of them, that means that you can create light bullets, essentially. because lights impart a high amount of energy with a low degree of mass, which means that they're extremely easy to project if you can get them to cohese.
And yet they do have mass, so yeah. That should be pretty interesting. I wonder how densely they can pack them, too. That would be interesting.
Well, the thing is, if they're going to sit in a structure of some kind, it's got to be pretty dense.
Yeah.
So, well, ladies and gentlemen, ray guns in the future. Maybe. Yeah. Who knows?
Could be.
So imagine how ridiculously weird those bullets would be to store. Like,
warning, do not expose to light.
Damn, all of my bullets have gone dark. Just like, the dude's sitting there looking at all these shell casings and they're just empty. Like, just don't... Anyways, speculation is what we do on this podcast. I'm not sure if you guys are aware. New listeners, we're just going to speculate forever. And you just get to listen to us make idle chatter about that speculation.
That's the only thing we could do with episode 7 is just speculate at this point.
Well, it's because they're trying to pull the whole Star Trek Into Darkness thing. I just really hope they don't get busted doing exactly what they did in Into Darkness. He's really not Khan, we promise.
As long as they don't name the new Star Wars movie Star Wars Into Lightness. I would not go see that. I would just refuse, because that would be the worst title.
What about Star Wars Into Dusk?
Into Dusk?
Into Dusk.
Isn't, like, the working title supposed to be something along those lines?
We talked about this last podcast.
I think the working title is just Bluer Harvest 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Bluer Harvest 2.
No, they said New Dawn, right? That's what we talked about.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, Into Dusk is better.
Twilight movie? No.
That's what I said, yeah.
See, now we're just speculating on what they're going to name the movie, which is silly.
Yeah.
You shall see in due time.
They won't call it Attack of the Clones, I swear.
Let's really hope they don't.
Attack of the Storms.
Does your species suffer from irregularities, obstructions, cramping? Try Bactalax today. Side effects may include headaches, irritation, hemorrhoids, rachel plague, rhodian dank, gray rot, carillion, tamenin fever, heart combustion, bleeding, constipation irregularities, death, obstructions, mild delusion, cramping, dagobalion, swamp quoth, mon calamari, nerve shock, nerve pox, and rhodian dank.
Tobias has a report. Please do enlighten us.
Last month, I asked the Mercs how they deal with post-com blues. This month, I'm taking a different approach to Merc responses. I have asked a select number of Mercs on this topic. Mandalorian Mercs, is it still a hobby? Hobby is defined as an activity done in one's leisure time for pleasure. Gardening is a hobby, where you buy a plant, put it in the ground, water it, watch it grow, and have the satisfaction you didn't kill the plant. For some members, it's a hobby. They put on their costumes, they go to events, they have fun. But there are people that must use their time to make the world of the Mandalorian Mercs turn. They must do the behind-the-scenes work. These people are the ones who work hard for you to keep this a hobby. We start out first with someone who will spend more time on the Mercs than you ever will in your life. That's because he created us and gave us a home. He is Tom Hutchins, Noval Talon, the Mandalore, the Uniter, the founder and the CEO of the Mandalorian Mercs. Tom spends about 8 hours a day on the Mandalorian Mercs, and sometimes it's more. Sometimes he has done all-nighters. For example, in November of 2010, there was a decision to be made on the CRLs. He got 15 hours of sleep that whole week and still had to work his day job. He has had to stop doing non-Merc stuff to do Merc stuff, like stepping out of the office to take a Mercs-related call. He's a very popular man, too. He gets about 3 pages of personal messages on the Mercs and about 5 to 10 emails a day. Being a leader has changed his level of costuming. He now has to be the best. If he's not inspiring someone with his armor, then he's not doing his job as the leader. Being Mandalore isn't a hobby. It's a job and a lifestyle. He has made some sacrifices in his life, but he loves it. He has the pride in seeing fellow customers help one another out, having fun, and doing great things around the world. Next on our list is the Clan Administrating Officer. From down under, it's Point of Origin. He's in charge of all the clans all over the world. But with being in Australia, why most of the clans are in the U.S., pose a problem to our CAO. A short day on the Mercs for Point is about an hour, but he has been known to spend about 3 to 4 hours. But that time is used as fulfilling his role as CAO, posting on people's threads and offering words of advice. Things do get stressful for him around award time and yearly report time because he's waiting for someone to get back to him. He understands people have lives outside the Mercs. The overwhelming part of his job would be talking to people around the world and trying to understand what people are trying to say through text-based communications. He uses social media as a way to know people around the world to see what their personal life is like at the time. So if someone's going through a stressful time or having some kind of trouble that doesn't allow them to perform their duties, he can see that. Stress has been lifted off his shoulders by his staff and has helped tremendously. With the time difference between Australia and the United States, there are some advantages and disadvantages. He has had conversations with Alorads on Facebook until like 3 a.m. Sometimes council meetings go until 1 a.m. his time. But his time zone does help to be a moderator. If someone makes a volatile post at 3 a.m. U.S. time, he sees it and deletes it before it ever comes a problem. His view on costuming has changed a bit with his job. He's amazed by the amount of politics that go with it. He includes positive politics like organizing with the LFL and other costume clubs. The negative thing about his job is rule enforcement, like enforcing someone into retirement or disbanding clans. Rules are rules, and he must follow them. But he loves putting smiles on people's faces. He loves the camaraderie and the friendships. He loves that he takes care of the club, and the club takes care of him. Next on the list is Corey Snaps, the quartermaster. She's in charge of the Mandalorian Mercs merchandise. She spends about an hour on the Mercs daily during the week. But the weekend she spends fulfilling orders. Her job was a bit overwhelming at first, but now it's not bad. The overwhelming part's when a new patch run is released and she must stuff, stamp, and address about 100 envelopes. She feels bad for the postman. Her views hasn't changed on costuming since taking quartermaster. She has plans for builds and to go to conventions as if she didn't volunteer for the job. Next on the list is Corey Snaps' husband, Ken Snaps. Ken Snaps is the war correspondent for the Mandalorian Mercs, so he's in charge of all the invasion reports. His job isn't too busy. There are quote-unquote seasons like Free Comic Book Day, May the 4th, and Star Wars Reads Day. There are about 3 invasion reports a week during the slow time, and about 20 a week during busy time. He feels that he doesn't spend enough time on the Mercs. He tries to log in every day, but sometimes family and work gets in the way of that. He spends about an hour or so on the Mercs. It takes him more than half an hour to accomplish what he needs to do on the Mercs. He understood what he was getting into when he took the role because he worked closely with his predecessor, Nate Jangotap. He hasn't thought if being in the role he's in has changed his views on costuming, but he is a very busy man. He is war correspondent, Clan Rusalor, serving the U.S. Army, volunteers for charity, a lot of charities to list. He doesn't want to do anything halfway. He's willing to help out the Mercs if they need him. He enjoys the charity work and loves to be nerdy with like-minded nerds. Hailing from Arizona, he is the current Alorad for the Arizona clan, Hunter. Hunter just became Alorad not too long ago. His clan is the biggest clan in the Mercs, with 48 official members and 39 of them being active. He also has 48 non-official members working on costumes right now. His goal is to be the first clan with 100 official members. With a few months under the belt, his job does seem very stressful. He has respects for what his previous Alorad did behind the scenes. It would seem with that many official and non-official members, it would be easy to lose track of people. Not true. Hunter can keep track of everyone through social media or by calling them on the phone. One of the reasons why his previous Alorad stepped down was the stressful job planning and organizing their big convention, the Phoenix Comic Con. He hasn't started organizing for PCC 2014 yet, but he doesn't look forward to this monumental task. But he looks forward to the convention itself and how much of a success 2013 was. He thinks about the club and his clan a lot. He spends about an hour a day on the boards. He keeps in constant contact with his clan members, which to him is like an extended family. So the time he spends talking to his clan, he can't really call it work since it's family time. It has changed the way he looks at costuming. He used to go to events and have a good time. Now, as clan leader, he has to keep the mental count of people, has to keep track of things that he didn't have to worry about before. He worries about living up to event organizers' expectations, and he tries to secure future troops. In my opinion, we can't call this a hobby anymore. It's a lifestyle. There are people, may it be a team leader, Mandalore, quartermaster, so on and so on, that put too much time and effort into it. They do it because they love it. Each person I talked to, they echoed the same thing. They love this club. They love their job in the Mercs. They love costuming. If this is a hobby, there wouldn't be someone like Noval Talon and create a club and organize. If this is a hobby, we wouldn't want to affiliate with a club. We would do our own thing. If this was a hobby, we wouldn't buy the merchandise, speak in a fictional language, buy club banners, business cards, and recruit. Let us not forget the costume portion of this. If this is a hobby, we wouldn't spend too much time, money, and effort on a costume. If it's a hobby, we wear our costumes at Halloween parties and Halloween parties alone. If this was a hobby, we would use cardboard, duct tape, and paper. A lot of us, if not all of us, strive to have the best costume. And let us not forget this. We are a charity organization. If this was a hobby, we would do this for us. But we do not do this for us. We do it for charity organizations. We do it for the kids. And we do it for the kids at heart. I stand by my belief that who we are as the Mandalorian Mercs is not a hobby. The Mandalorian Mercs is a lifestyle. If you'd like to have a friendly debate about this, feel free to contact me at Tobias Creed on the boards. Saz got back to me after I recorded that segment you just heard, but I'm going to do this live here. Saz is in charge of the art team. He's in charge of the news team. He's also in charge of a whole bunch of other things. He's the PR guy, as I should mention. He also is in charge of Battlecry magazine, which has a brand new issue out. Go check it out. He's also in charge of the brigades and merchandising. He has to verbally battle with council members and the council over various issues. He does a lot of stuff. He also lists that he's probably forgetting something he does.
Yes. His actual title is Public Relations.
Yes, Public Relations. He manages time on the Mercs fairly well, but he's up at like 8 or 9 in the morning his time, which he's in the UK. But he also could be as late as 1 to 2 in the morning. He says he does about Mandalorian Merc stuff for like 10 to 12 hours a day, which seems a little impossible, but, you know.
Well, I mean, there are some people who have jobs where they're able to do that and don't get fired. So, and more power to those people because they're what make the club work. So
he does get a lot of emails. That's what he says. It's lots of emails, and it made it easier because he met some people from LFL from CE2. But most of his job is just speaking to LFL and talk about club concerns.
Basically, he makes sure that we're on the level with Lucasfilm and we're not going to have any issues.
Yeah.
Which is quite the important job.
Yes. Yes. It doesn't really count how many PMs he gets a day, but he does get a lot of PMs where he goes into depths of, like, you know, he's going back and forth between one person quite a bit. So that is pretty time-consuming. The Mercs does he's English, so I don't really understand that.
Encroach.
The Mercs does encroach his personal time, but he dares not ask his girlfriend about it. being in a different time zone internationally does affect his job. He would be lying if he says he doesn't. He has to wait till the U.S. wakes up to get stuff done. It's hard to speak to people he hasn't even met, but he says CE2 has helped resolve a lot of that, which he doesn't really go into explaining how that convention really helped.
Well,
you got to see people and be like, hey, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, basically, consider it as if you met all of the Mercs from all over the country. And now, rather than just having spoken to them online, where you don't necessarily get the best read off of their potential tone in the text format, now you've actually met them in person.
Okay, yeah. I asked him if his role has changed the way he look at costuming, but he says not really. It's helped him enjoy trooping more, and it reminds him why he's here. And he says he gets to see the dirty underbelly of costuming.
Unwashed jumpsuits.
It's true.
It does. He says he really tests his resolve, but as soon as he puts the helmet on, he forgets all about it and enjoys costuming. He says there's a lot of good people that put a lot of time into the Mercs, and he respects them all. So basically, you guys are kind of getting for the panel here. I think that the Mandalorian Mercs is not a hobby anymore. It's more of a lifestyle because we do so much that can't make it a hobby.
It requires more effort than a hobby allows for.
Yeah.
I would tend to agree, especially now that I've stepped into the chief technology officer role and I'm having to manage the website. So, you know, the website goes down, which you guys may have noticed
recently that happened. So tell us about that experience there, Sean.
That actually happened twice.
How many ever times it did? It fits into what I'm talking about.
Definitely.
Did you get a call or something, or what's going on?
Well, I saw you had tagged me and be like, "Oh, it's the end of days." So I wake up in the morning. You know, it's all
feeling
going
like
well,
Kennedy.
And check my phone, and there's Tobias screaming for the end of days. The end is nigh, and I'm going, "What?
Huh?
I'm still half asleep." And then I kind of realized, oh, the Mercs website's down, at which point I have to go and try and figure out what exactly is going wrong. Turns out in both instances, the first instance, the earlier one, was just a matter of something on the web server's end where they had some issues unrelated to the second instance, which was, the web server was being DDoSed. For those that don't know what that is, that's a distributed denial of service attack.
Really?
Which basically means...
We got ion cannoned.
More or less, yeah.
who
All it basically is no, we don't know. And it wasn't directed at our website or anything. It's just directed at the host for some reason. Is essentially it. Basically, DDoS is just consider it like the highway. If you put too many cars on, it starts to traffic. You start to have traffic back up. And if you have enough traffic backing up, things just don't move at all, at which point you can no longer load a website because it can't send data out because it's trying to respond to all these requests coming in. That's your DDoS.
Yeah, so for everybody out there, I saved you guys for posting the end of days on Facebook. You're welcome. I expect my inbox to be full of thank yous. Tobias Creed, just make sure you get
money.
All that.
You can give him money, too. He takes cash.
Republic credits will do fine.
So with this month's Merc's responses, it was time consuming for me, which is kind of funny because that was the topic, how time consuming is being on the Mandalorian Merc's. So next month I'm going to do more something simpler. But just recently, Cajun, the Merc's archivist, just posted on the lounge that is similar to Merc's responses of what have you been mistaken as while tripping as a Mandalorian.
Well, thank you for the excellent transition there, Tobias. Yeah, so that's right. We do have a thread created by Cajun, and he was just trying to find out what other people were called when they were trooping in their Mando. He himself was called RoboCop, which he didn't see, and I quite frankly don't see either.
Yeah.
And RoboCop is chrome and black, and Cajun is, you know, red and white. And completely different.
That was RoboCop.
Yeah, totally. Go on.
So, there's a whole bunch of responses. One person was called Vader, and they're, you know, remarking that they're 5'2", and they were called Vader.
Meanwhile,
we've
had people say that they've been called Yoda.
I've been called
Chewbacca before.
Yeah. Yoda was the famous Mandalorian.
Power Ranger. Yeah, that gets repeated a lot, especially in the more colorful clans.
Power Ranger, Transformer, Stormtrooper, Clone Trooper.
Taglar was called Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
From Infinity and Beyond.
Once in an elevator at a convention, we stopped at a floor, elevator was full, so the doors just open and everybody's just staring at each other, and a girl walks by and she's like, oh, Halo guys, and then the door shuts. not Master Chief, not Spartans, not ODSTs, just Halo guys. And if, like, once the door shuts, everybody in the elevator, even people who had no idea who the hell we were just like dying.
That's pretty funny.
I was at this comic book / coffee shop, and somebody came up to me and they're like, "Hey, Iron Man, are you Iron Man?" And I was like, I'm white and green.
Tell me what of these things is Iron Man.
Iron Man's not feeling so well today. He's kind of green.
Get out.
A lot of people get Stormtrooper, Boba Fett, Django. You know, those all make sense. Yeah.
Boba Fett is like, you're not allowed to complain about being called Boba Fett. You're literally, that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I'll take
guys.
Boba Fett or Django Fett any day. Yeah. No problem. That's cool.
Stormtrooper is relative. It's close.
It's better than
Power Ranger.
It's when I hear a Stormtrooper, the back of my mind's going, good hustle.
Yes. I think anybody that is a Mandalorian, anytime we hear Boba, Django, or Stormtrooper, we die a little bit on the inside.
Yeah.
And I think that's everybody in the Mercs.
We are the only ones who care, though.
I would have to disagree. I do not die a little every time I hear Boba Fett or Django.
But
I'm fine with that.
We want to, like, cheer out loud and get, like, a megaphone when, like, some little four-year-old kid's like, "Oh, it's a Mandalorian." You're like, "Yes!
Yeah,
somebody knows!"
That is 100% true.
Yeah,
I cannot deny that for a second.
Little kids have it right on.
That's one of the greatest things about that Clone Wars TV show, you know, knock it if you will, for if you didn't enjoy it, but the fact that all the kids know that we're Mandalorians or we're Death Watch, or they know exactly
what most
we are.
Of them don't even call us Death Watch. I mean, there have been some kids that have called me Death Watch before because the blacks and silver, but most of them, yeah, they just say, "Oh, Mandalorians, awesome."
And then their parent is like, "No, that's a Stormtrooper." And it's like, "No."
Yeah, the kid just looks
your kid,
at him.
It's like, your kid is way smarter than you. I'm sorry.
Does anybody think about the Penny Arcade trick or treat one?
Yes.
That comic.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yes.
That's a good one. No, I think the best one that I didn't even get this one. The best one that I experienced was my buddy and I went to the last tour to Alderaan back at Celebration 5, and we went to the Disney park after hours. It was something that they had set up specifically with the convention going on. And I was wearing Thaxos. My buddy was wearing his Republic Commando. And we're going around having an awesome time because it's crazy cool there. They had, some extra stuff going on above and beyond. Like, they were doing the Star Wars Weekends type, the whole on-stage music dance thing. And they had unlimited rides on the old Star Tours ride, which was pretty cool, before they, you know, blew it up, quote-unquote, which they, you know, shot off some fireworks, which was kind of neat. But at one point, we went to the one of those food stands, and the people working at Disney didn't really know too much about Star Wars or what was going on that night. So, the one woman asks, what are you guys? And my buddy in the Republic Commando, of course, goes, "Oh, guess." And he totally brought this up on himself by asking her to guess. But she's like, are y'all from Star Wars? It's like, yeah, we're from Star Wars. What do you think? What characters? And she turns to him, not me. Thaxos is mostly black armor, some gold. She turns to him, who is in a white Republic Commando, and says, "Are you Vader?" And I was so glad I had my helmet on at that moment, because otherwise the laughter was contained, but the grin on my face was hysterical. That was probably the best, is get him being called Vader. And then I think later on he also got heckled by somebody and was called Buzz Lightyear because he had his helmet off and he had the balaclava on. I think the craziest one for Thaxos was either Transformer or what was the other one? Yeah, I think Transformer or Halo, which kind of threw me off. It's like, I don't see it. What about Crow? You got just that one or?
I've gotten all the usual ones that everybody has. Lots of Bobas, lots of Djangos. I've gotten Power Ranger because the black and silver. A lot of people think I'm dressed up as the Black Ranger, the best Ranger.
I think I've only had Power Ranger like once or twice actually. It's not too common.
The Halo guy, gotten that a lot. Yeah, I've gotten a whole bunch of Master Chiefs. I don't know why.
Weirdest one you got?
Weirdest one I got?
Or least accurate?
Least accurate probably would be the Halo guys one. Yeah. Just because, I mean, it's not even... You're not even naming a character. You're just naming a game franchise. Like, dude, you're Quake. Like,
you must be Unreal Tournament, the person. Holy crap, you're Scribblenauts.
Are you Minecraft?
It's getting less and less because a lot of the conventions that I frequent, the age range is getting progressively younger. We've been at a bunch of these places multiple times, so most people are starting to catch on.
Yeah, that's one nice part is when people start catching on. But definitely the show and the fact that the movies are now coming out should see a much better accuracy on names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which will be nice.
Yeah.
Well, the weirdest one I've ever gotten was one that was weird not because it was incorrect, because, I mean, they're all incorrect. But it was weird because it was very specifically incorrect. It wasn't at Dragon Con, it was at Animazement, which is a local anime convention that's pretty big. They bring in, like, 10,000 people every year.
Not bad.
Yeah, for a local convention in the middle of nowhere, that's pretty good. They do that, and this one guy was utterly convinced I was from a TV show called Kamen Rider. I don't know if you guys know what Kamen Rider is.
Never heard of it.
Kamen Rider comes from the same sort of Japanese franchise as the Power Rangers. It's actually what the Power Rangers are based off of.
Mm-hmm.
Power Rangers are from a Japanese TV show called Super Sentai. Kamen Rider was like a motorcycle dude with a bug helmet.
Sort of like Beetleborgs.
Yeah, Beetleborgs is actually Kamen Rider. Like, it's one of the later seasons of Kamen Rider.
Oh.
And so it's all part of that same sort of deal. He was utterly convinced that I was a character from a Kamen Rider episode, like, from the 80s.
That's pretty funny.
I was like, I actually know what a Kamen Rider is. That's so weirdly off the mark. No, like, you could have, if you're going to be weirdly specific, go with Vile from Mega Man, because I've gotten that too, because I'm purple.
Yeah.
And Vile was actually designed based off of Boba Fett, so they look kind of alike. But Kamen Rider? No, I just don't even.
That's quite the obscure one, yeah.
Yeah, and like 80% of you people listening are like, what the hell is a Kamen Rider? And the other 20% are like, what? What? Like, they know what that is.
Yeah.
It's like being called a Power Ranger, but more obscure.
Yeah. What about you, Scott? Any other weird, obscure ones?
I had a Ninja Turtle, which I can understand.
Yeah.
Which one? Did they have a specific one in mind? Like, were you Donatello, Michelangelo?
No, they didn't have a specific one, but I mean, I was green and white, and it makes it terrible because I have a Republic Commando backplate, so it looks like a shell.
We need to get you a little headband for your eyes, for your teeth.
Yes. Or I could just paint my teeth visor like purple and
wrap it all the way around.
Yeah, and then get me like a stick, and I could be Donatello. Is it a stick? Is that his?
Yeah, Donatello uses a staff. Yeah.
Yeah. Staff.
Yeah.
There you go.
I saw Turtles in Time 3 the other weekend. Oh, yeah.
Yes!
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
So good. So good.
And that's all the time we have for this month's episode of Kildabi Talk Radio. Hopefully you enjoyed the episode, and we'll catch you next month. Later.
I'm Thaxos.
I'm also Thaxos.
I'm Thaxos.
No, I am Thaxos.
I just part of this.
This has been a production of the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club. If you'd like to learn more about the topics discussed on today's show, please visit www.mandalorianmercs.com. The Mandalorian Mercs is a worldwide Star Wars costuming organization comprised of and operated by Star Wars fans. Star Wars, its characters, costumes, and all associated items are intellectual property of Lucasfilm. Copyright 2009 Lucasfilm Limited. We hope you enjoyed our show, and we'd love to hear your feedback. Please email podcast@mercs.firespray.net. Until next time, happy hunting.
Hear me now?
Oh, there! Holy crap, there he is.
Why isn't this working?